Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 77. Shall children be christened? Will you be kind enough to give me a scriptural reason why I should have my infant christened? I can find nothing in my Bible authorizing the ceremony, or even bearing on it, and I cannot see what good it is for the minister to sprinkle the child, and say some words to it, which it is not old enough to understand. Therefore my child, which is 10 months old, has not been christened. Will you kindly give me your opinion on the matter, and say if you think it necessary? It is impossible to give a scriptural reason for a thing of which the scripture does not speak, and since the scripture says nothing whatever about the christening of infants, there is no reason for doing it, and every reason for not doing it. We have no more right to add to God's words than we have to detract from them. To do, in matters specially connected with salvation, what God has not commanded, shows unbelief of the Bible, and disregard for it, just as much as to refuse to do what he has plainly commanded. For in either case God's word is set aside as inferior to man's tradition or fancy. Coming to the root of the matter, our question ought really to be, is it possible to christen an infant? Instead of, shall we do it? This is evident when we think of the meaning of the word, christen. The word is simply the original form of Christian, and means to make a Christian. To christen a child means therefore to Christianize it, to make it a Christian. Nothing more or less than this is the meaning of the word, and when we know this, it is easy to see the error of the common ceremony. It is self-evident that an infant a few days, or weeks, or even months old, knows nothing of what is being done to it in the christening ceremony. Much less can it understand anything of its supposed significance. It has no voice or will in the matter, except that a vigorous protest against being disturbed is not infrequent. The question, then, is this. Is it possible to make any person a Christian without his knowledge or consent? The answer must evidently be, no. If it be said that it is possible to make one a Christian without his knowledge, then Christianity is reduced to a mere empty form or name, and the ceremony by which it is supposed to be done is merely a charm or a bit of magic. Now it is plain that those who believe in the christening of infants do really believe that it is possible to make Christians of them when they are but a few days old. And it is further evident that those who think so attribute supernatural power, a magic charm, to the ceremony, called baptism, by which the change is supposed to be effected. Some will refer to circumcision as a warrant for the christening of infants. But circumcision did not in any sense correspond to baptism. And moreover, if it were true that christening corresponds to circumcision, then the ceremony ought to be restricted to male children. Infant baptism and infant communion. There is another thing to be considered, which is now usually ignored. It is this. It is a fact that baptism is the sign of Christianity. It is the badge of discipleship. It is the outward act by which one shows one's acceptance of Christ. Whoever is really baptized is really Christian, a member of Christ's body, the Church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit. Therefore, when a child is christened, it is to be considered a member of the Church. If it is not so considered, then it is admitted that the christening ceremony was a farce. But every member of Christ's body has not merely the right, but the obligation, to feed upon his body, to partake of the Lord's Supper. If infants are to be baptized, then they must not be kept away from the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. If their baptism be valid, then whoever keeps them from the communion is guilty of sin. This view was taken by some of the early fathers, and is still held in the East. But this again makes the Lord's Supper, like baptism, only a fetish, a charm, and not a matter of intelligent faith, God's grace not dependent on man. The common thought concerning the so-called baptism of infants is that stated by Cyprian, in his argument against delaying the ceremony. His words are, we all rather judge that the mercy and grace of God is not to be refused to any one born of man. For as the Lord says in his gospel, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. As far as we can, we must strive that, if possible, no soul be lost. Now this in itself is perfectly correct. But when it is produced as a reason for baptizing children, it is all wrong, since it not only attributes magic charm to the ceremony, but it makes the grace and mercy of God wholly dependent upon the zeal or negligence of men. It is a monstrous doctrine, and horrible beyond expression, and a libel on God's goodness, that the salvation of an innocent baby should depend solely on whether or not a formula has been recited over it, the extent of redemption. But there is no need for fear in respect to children. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works, and His mercy endures forever. A few texts will show in what relation infants stand to God's salvation, and the evil of so-called christening, or infant baptism, lies in this, that it obscures the simple, fundamental truths of the gospel. We will allow the scriptures to tell their own story. As by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away, literally, bears, the sin of the world. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Son, when He had by Himself purged our sins, made purification of sins. RV sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. These texts, and many more to the same intent, show that the death of Jesus has made reconciliation for all the sins of the world. We are reconciled to God by the death of His Son, who tasted death for every man, every being. By His death and life of righteousness, the free gift of God's grace comes upon all men. Do you say that this means universal salvation? It would, most certainly, if nobody rejected the grace of God. But the most of mankind will not accept Christ, nor acknowledge their need of and dependence upon God. The way of salvation is so broad and free that a man must by some means or other refuse to be saved, in order to be lost. Christ said, If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He has been lifted up, and He is drawing, and all but the stubborn will be saved. Infants have no personal sins of which to repent, and are saved by virtue of the life of God poured out in Christ for all the race. As soon as people come to years of understanding and accountability, they must personally accept the Lord Jesus by faith, and show their faith in Him, not because God has arbitrarily decreed it, but because only so can they be kept from sin. Men can live only by faith, but the tender infant on its mother's breast is the perfect picture of faith and trust. It is the farthest possible from rejecting God's grace. It shows us how we should be related to the living Word. Of this Christ bears witness, through David, when he says to the Father, You did make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. One thing more should be noted. The question will rise, Ought not parents to dedicate their children to the Lord? Most certainly they should, but they should do it before the children are born, or before they are even conceived. If this be the case, as with Samuel and John the Baptist, they may be filled with the Spirit from birth. Not so that they will never need to be baptized, but so that as they grow in wisdom and stature they will come to the Lord as naturally as the flower turns to the sunlight.